Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Nehemiah chapter 3. We'll look at verse number 29. Have your Bible ready if you can. We've been looking at the 10 gates recorded in Nehemiah chapter 3. The first one is the sheep gate. And then in verse 3, we have the fish gate. Verse 6, the old gate. 13, the valley gate. Verse 14, the dung gate. And then verse 15, the gate of the fountain. And then verse 26, the water gate. Verse 28, the horse gate. And all the way down to verse 29 today, we're looking at the east gate. Only one verse about that. It says in Nehemiah 3 and 29, after them repaired Zadok, the son of Amor, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. Interesting that all it says here is that there is a gate there, the east gate. Now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then in Zechariah 14, verse number 4, we read, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half toward the south. Now, we're looking at the fact that this gate obviously represents the second coming of Christ, and I'm going to quote some verses concerning that subject. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 17 and 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then this verse ends saying, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, what we're looking at here is what we call the rapture of the Christian. That is when Christ comes and we are raptured out of this world and go to meet him. Now, the actual return of Jesus Christ, and we usually refer to the rapture as the return, which really isn't correct. The return, we find in Revelation 19, verse number 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness, and this is how this verse ends, he doth judge and make war. Now the last verse we read, wherefore comfort one another with these words. When Christ returns, he's coming back. He came the first time. He came the first time as a baby and referred to as the Lamb of God. The next time he comes back, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When he comes for us at what we call the rapture, the Lord says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. When he returns at the end of the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, he doth judge and make war. Now it's a fact that Jesus is coming back again. His own testimony, he said in Matthew 16, verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. John 14 and 2, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In John chapter 21, when Peter was talking with the Lord and the Lord was giving him instructions concerning his life, and he asked about John, what's he going to do? And Jesus said in John 21, verse 22, and if I that will that he tarry till I come, What is that to thee? Follow thou me. So we have four references here where Jesus said he would come again. Then we have two angels in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, that told the disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. James said in James 5 and 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Jude said in Jude 1 and 14, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Revelation 1 7, John said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now, as you go through the New Testament, Paul makes references to the Lord's return over 50 times. One verse in every 30 in the New Testament refers to Christ's second coming. And in the Old Testament, there are 20 times as many references to the second coming of Christ as there is to his first coming. Now, we know his return is near. Luke 21 and 31 says, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Again, the prophecies of Matthew 24 are all being fulfilled today faster than we can keep track of them. Another verse that refers to the Lord coming is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 53, we read, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The Bible says that the return of Christ, as far as the rapture aspect of it is concerned, that it will be a surprise. He said in Matthew 24, 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. He continued, therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then he gave an illustration, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when he comes back. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now we can look back at the gates that are being built in Nehemiah chapter 3. We see the first one is the sheep gate, and we've said that represents our relationship with the Lord. And then you'll see that each one of these gates, once we see the sheep gate is rebuilt, that is, we have a proper relationship with the Lord, that one leads to the next one. The next one is the fish gate. And if our relationship with the Lord is right, he said, I'll make you fishers of men, which means our relationship with unsaved people will be right. We will have an interest in making sure they hear the gospel. The next gate is the old gate. Jeremiah said, seek ye the old way. Of course, they said back then, we're not going to do that, and they didn't. Nehemiah 3 and 13 refers to the valley gate, which talks about the Holy Spirit being in charge. And then the next one is verse 14, the dung gate, which is where we carry out the garbage. The next one is the gate of the fountain, representing Holy Spirit control. And then the water gate, which, of course, represents the Word of God. The horse gate, as we said in our last broadcast, represents battling for what is right. And then we come to the east gate. And in this age in which we're living, we need to ask ourselves, who has our attention, or what has our attention today, rather than the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again soon? There's where our attention should be, and if our focus is on that, it's going to have a lot to do with how we live for the Lord in this day and age in which we're living. And so our theme has been, what is a Bible revival? And if we just take those gates and make sure that we are rebuilding them within our lives, then we are going to be able to see the blessings that came in Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, this does not mean to say that there's going to be a worldwide revival or even a citywide revival. Revival is a very personal thing, and that's what we need to be concerned about. When we're looking at these gates or rebuilding what they stand for, we need to think about doing that within our personal lives, and if nothing else, we will find that we will have the revival that is recorded for us in Nehemiah chapter 8. That will be a reality in our own personal lives.